We can't just arrest our way out of putting criminals in jail. We need to rub them with nice-smelling Seattle spirit.
You get the best weed. Call 911 and the police.
I assume it was not a cop job.
Amazon is ISIS.
Say exactly what you think.
No impact! No impact!
As a city, we have no plan.
They have a new plan. Michael Medved's in the studio with me, heard here and on over 300 radio stations all around the country. Hello, sir.
Hey there. Happy day after primary day. I loved your coverage of the primary day with on the Rush Show.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was that was a heavy show. A lot of heavy topics today. You'll be pleased to know, Michael, that homelessness it's done now.
Good. I was waiting for them to push the button. And maybe they can clean up some of the trash and graffiti now that they've done with the homeless folks.
Well, I can't imagine that homelessness can last even another 2 weeks with a third committee on it. And, Michael, have you ever heard of a committee with three co-chairs? Right there, that's going to scare the street people out of the building, out of the city.
Yeah, and who are the three co-chairs?
Leftists. I don't know. I think.
What do you mean? They're only leftists in Seattle. It's.
I know.
No, it is an insane situation because here's the thing I was thinking about. This morning, I'm driving into work, and when you drive on the I-90 just before it comes into the I-5, there's this whole huge encampment now, and they throw their trash down, literally down the side of the embankment. And right across from them, there are workmen. They're honest, hardworking, good, solid Americans who are building this idiot light rail. It's not their fault. It's a job.
Right.
You know, I think about these guys who get up in the morning, say goodbye to the wife and kids, feed the dog, you know, get in the car, and then they come out and they're working for the state to build
the
this wonderful light rail. Yeah. And they're working hard, and they look up, and right across from them, within view of them, it's worse than India. It's worse than Calcutta. There are people wandering around. You can see them. They're wandering around. They're out of their minds. They have big signs and tents, and some of the tents are clustered together, and they're throwing their garbage and shopping carts down the hill.
They had propane tanks. I drove by there the other day, Michael.
Well, they just had a fire there.
I know. I drove there the other day because I had a meeting out in Bellevue. I took that same drive you're talking about, and that's a horrifying and beautifully stated juxtaposition of the working people looking up and saying, wow, look at these people. Michael, they were barbecuing in the morning at 10 a.m., gathered around, and I saw the same thing. I was thinking that the working guys down there could smell the barbecue up the hill of these people not working, and yes, the people out of their minds running around. Now, there is also this circumstance. I got a note from a listener. They went up into the Olympic Mountains, and they were very, very relieved because they only found one used needle.
Wow.
In the Olympic Mountains. There is, believe it or not, in this area, this is, I don't know if you've read this, Seattle Times, Vienna Davila maybe. She is gone in and dug into what Pierce County is doing with homelessness. You know what I am a believer of? I don't believe that one size fits none is a good idea. I don't think you can apply that intelligently. They are doing a form of diversion where they meet with someone who's had problems and they do a profile, a kind of human interest profile of a guy named Trevon Wilkins, who had some tough things happen in life. His daughter got ill. Did you read this piece?
I did. Yeah. And it sounded like it was an okay program.
No, I mean, look, this is exactly right. This guy said, look, what do I need? I need $2,000 in debt paid off so I can get an apartment. That's what I need. I need a permanent place to live. The average cost of this program is $1,660 per household to find permanent housing, versus what we pay right now is about $10,700 for emergency shelters, $14,400 for rapid rehousing. And in the case of these diversionary tactics, they have about half of these households have opted for diversion in King County and Pierce County. They end up 50% of the time getting into permanent housing at one-tenth and sometimes less than one-tenth the cost of these other measures.
So what's wrong with this diversionary program? Why is that not more frequently employed?
Well,
because it doesn't grease as many bureaucratic palms?
Exactly. You look up on Capitol Hill, you were talking about the beautiful choo-choo train that's taken over our lovely I-90 bridge, and God forbid that thing sink, but it probably will. But that
Don't
thing,
say that.
No,
after this Genoa thing that...
Wait, I'm not joking.
And we had Galloping Gertie, remember that?
I am not joking. Yeah. I don't want it to happen. But the train station up here on Capitol Hill, it's going to have affordable housing right on top of it. You know how long it is to be affordable housing? How many years?
No.
12.
Wow.
You know what it does after that?
No, reverts to market value?
Yes, whatever they want.
Okay, good.
So for the 12 years, they get a tax write-off. But then they get to rack it up to market rates. That's why there's not more of this diversionary program, because it's the big donors, the big real estate donors who play the affordable housing thing for a huge scam, and groups like Share and Wheel who have no interest in moving people out of parking lots.
The other thing is this diversionary program is going to work for that minority of the homeless population. I think it is a minority. Where people are stuck or they're down on their luck and they really, really want to get their own apartment and they need somebody to help them with the deposit and the first month's rent and the safety and the cleaning and that. Okay, got that. Fair enough. And there are people like that. Obviously, they profiled some of those people in the article in the Times. But this does nothing for the people who are strung out of their minds, who aren't taking their meds, who are delusional and schizophrenic and it really doesn't do a lot of good either for people who have a chronic criminal background.
No, it doesn't. And that's why it is absolutely unsolvable until the authorities will admit there are homeless people. You've described homeless people looking for a hand up. They've been sleeping on friends' couches. They're looking out to get out of the system. They want a couple grand so they can go get an apartment. That's a homeless person. But you've also described people who are out of their heads, mentally ill. They can't help themselves. We have to help them, and we have to force them to get help. But you've also described street people, and there are street people who want that lifestyle. Each of those populations needs a different approach. Diversionary, as you said, good for the people who have encountered homelessness, and it's the right thing to do. Let's get them back into society, the right thing to do, cheaper for us, better for them, okay use of a safety net. But we instead pour resources down this drain of chasing these street people, and those are the people barbecuing up on the hill.
Right.
Those are the people living in the tents happily.
And you're trying to encourage them to move into communities of tiny houses or places where you have campouts in a parking lot. And again, the entire result of all of this is making Seattle a magnet for homeless people nationwide and basically sponsoring it. And again, that's what we're doing, and they want more and more money. What happened to all those emergency homeless programs we were going to fund with the head tax?
Great question. They don't really like to talk about what happened. I will tell you today, Jason Rance, you can see this article if you text Rance, R-A-N-T-Z, to 800-465-8770. The Seattle police and King County decided to invite a group of people with arrest warrants, a rather large group of them, to hang out in front of the King County Courthouse, not to be arrested, and there were no arrests made, but to help them and then let them go.
I'm sorry,
these are people with arrest warrants.
Uh-huh, with
pending
warrants.
Arrest warrants, yeah.
So and what's the purpose of getting all these people with pending warrants?
It's to save you money. It's so that they can help the people resolve their situations. It's not in court. It's not even particularly a legal process as I see it. They're just gathering them outside the King County Courthouse.
And they're explaining why they're not honoring the warrants, are they? Or
no, they're not really interested in explaining that as much as saying attendees will learn options to resolve their case and for those who need it, how to access social services and support through the Court Resource Center. So it's one more time of people who have warrants being treated differently than you or me. If you don't pay a traffic ticket, and you're probably a perfect driver, I can't imagine a MedVed speedhead. But if you ever get a speed...
I got my last traffic ticket in Concrete, Washington.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you pay it immediately?
Yeah, of
course. Okay.
I mean, it's Concrete, Washington. By the way, the whole town of Concrete, I found out, was kind of a notorious speed trap. Stupid me for going 7 miles above the speed limit through Concrete.
Yeah, no, stay away from that. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and get into the live world of breaking news in a national front. Michael said the most interesting thing about the race in Connecticut... and just the changing faces of the party. So we'll talk about that. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. The text line is open, 800-465-8770, brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. And again, I put up there because you need to see it, because I-1639 is developing momentum. This is the anti-gun initiative that, and I'm not kidding you. Michael, have you read about this anti-gun initiative in our state? You know what it does? If you decide to buy a semi-automatic weapon, so that would be a revolver or what they've decided are assault rifles, do you know that you have to give up your HIPAA rights to healthcare privacy?
To buy any kind of gun? Or
what they've determined are certain guns that are semi-automatic. A revolver is a semi-automatic weapon. In order to apply to buy one of those, to fill out a request to buy, that constitutes a waiver of your HIPAA rights, so that without a warrant, anybody in government could call your therapist or your doctor, your psychiatrist, to determine how you're doing at any time they wanted to do that.
And this is not just when you buy your gun.
At any time.
It's at any time after you bought your gun and you've already been approved, then they can go back and check on your psychiatric condition.
Anytime.
That's remarkable. Is there any other law like that anywhere else?
No. And I wanted to tell people that there's some people who don't believe me on this. So if you want to see it for yourself, text the number 16 to 800-465-8770, and I'll show you the 17 reasons this thing is so wildly unconstitutional. Let's check the live world of breaking news. Andrew Cuomo is out with a fantastic position statement for the Democrat Party.
As we speak. The Todd Herman Show is live and local because the power seekers never rest. And political news is breaking as we speak.
What are some of the actual legitimately smart ways Democrats have run for office, Michael? Some of the like legitimately decent American slogans in the past.
Basically, I think the New Deal, I promise a New Deal for the American people. They always have something new. It's a new frontier.
Yeah.
John Kennedy, we stand on the edge of a new frontier.
Yeah.
It is not a frontier of promises. It is a frontier of challenges.
Yeah.
Lean
forward.
Pretty good.
Oh, wait, no, that was MSNBC.
Right.
Wasn't it Obama's, was it Progress or the
Hope and Change.
I know Hope and Change did the first one, but then they did the very Stalin-esque guy pointing, obviously, to the left,
down the
road, something like that, brothers.
It was OPA, Obama, Progress, or something, Onward, Progress, whatever.
Yeah, and it was very Stalin-esque in the pointing. So Andrew Cuomo out with a new direction for the Democrat Party.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
And they are whooping and cheering. I love that. And you've heard his weasel-worded apology.
No, I've not heard his weasel-worded apology.
They issued a statement today, because this is, of course, blowing up on the internet. We covered it on my show. And he goes on, and he's reading this. First of all, do you have the rest of what he said there?
Because I could ask young Tom to get it, because I know he went on to say that, you know, we've never achieved greatness and the country has so many problems, etc. But young Tom can grab it. But
he said, we have not yet achieved greatness. It's like he was one of those, he's treating each one of his words like a lozenge that you sort of suck on.
Or like a
as
tasty,
you're delivering them. Yeah.
Bloody
oh,
piece of meat.
These words are so... Yeah. Wonderful that have been written
right
for
me.
Yeah,
this is not this cannot continue to play. There are reasonable people. Did you see Mr. Bean? I know this is in America. No, but
Rowan Atkinson,
Rowan Atkinson gave a great speech about free speech. And then what's the young man who won the MTV Music Award? Chris Pratt, who's, by the way, apparently from this area, from Boston.
Yeah, he is.
He's back.
I think
to
Lake Stevens.
He's back to speaking of respect for the Lord. He's back to speaking.
Yeah, he's a Christian.
Yes, he's
serious.
But that you should believe in this too. I mean, there are people on the left, even Jerry Seinfeld, legitimately beginning to understand the threat of the left. I mean, you work closer to Hollywood than I do.
Even some of the stuff that Howard Schultz has been saying. I mean, he is not identifying with this Andrew Cuomo left or the Chelsea Clinton left. I gave you this Chelsea Clinton thing. She was saying that, think how wonderful it is that we aborted all those kids under Roe v. Wade, because it added $3.9 trillion to the workforce because women went back to work. As if there aren't working women who are mothers. There aren't working women who cherish their babies and decided not to abort them?
I mean, hell, if that's good for the economy, let's go kill some other kids. I mean, we could really free some parents up to get to work.
Absolutely.
Let's get active on that
I
front.
I suggested, you know, a 2-year return policy.
there are ethicists.
You know, you heard about the terrible twos? Yes. Steven Pinker used to argue for that. He no longer does.
Yeah, there were ethicists arguing that you should be able to either return or kill your baby after 2 years.
Well, Peter Singer at Princeton took that position.
Has made those positions. So we have that on the national front. The Dino Rossi race, I hope this goes national. We talked about some of the races today, and I want to get to your observations on Connecticut. Did you hear Dr. Kim Shire? Did you know she's a pediatrician?
Oh, she says
every fifth word. Did you hear her her estimation of herself as regards to what she's doing fighting Trump? Have you heard this?
No.
All right, listen here.
I think back to you know, the questions we ask our own parents. Like, I asked my parents, what were you doing during the civil rights movement? And I imagine things like, what would I have done in World War II? And I would always like to think that I would be on the right side of history.
In World War II?
Yeah, let's see. Well, given the fact that she's born in the United States, I think, despite the German name.
But World War II? Honestly, Kim Shire? Honestly, running against Dino Rossi, you are honestly thinking this is a D-Day moment. You're in a boat headed to Normandy, right?
Well, yeah. Again, this is very much like the statement that was made today by Charles Blow. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, he was saying that the people who are not taking up arms, basically, who are not active in opposing Trump and joining the resistance, are like Germans who did nothing to stop Jews from being dragged to the gas chambers. He said it's like the people who lived in the days of slavery. And they said, well, I don't hold slaves. So they winked at the people of the plantation next door. And I asked callers, nobody bit, what is it exactly that Trump is doing that's comparable to slavery and the Holocaust?
We have reached out to Kim Shire. Did you know she's a pediatrician? that she is. I want her to come on the show, and I'm inviting her openly to come and describe all of the civil rights that Trump has stolen. And I want her to describe in detail how this is a moment like World War II. And I thought that maybe to help her along, I might invite some calls from some veterans who could maybe help her understand maybe the juxtaposition in this. Then I've also asked, since I think she's a pediatrician, Kim Shire.
Yeah.
I'd wondered if maybe she had practiced pediatrics maybe up in some of the fire zones to go up and practice, you know, medicine there. There's people who need help. I mean, certainly she has general medical knowledge. She should go to some of the great big fires here and actively, you know, pursue help there. And this is a woman running against Dino Rossi.
I know. And one of the things that I was thinking about today, I actually spoke with Susan Hutchinson today, who I think is going to be a stronger candidate for the U.S. Senate than a lot of people.
Did she wish me well?
She did.
I saw her stick her head in the studio when I was on for Rush.
Correct. And I told her you were on for Rush. Yeah. And in any event, she's eager to patch it up with you. I truly think you're both eager and, you know, both too important to the conservative cause. The point I was going to make was we right now have three really dynamic women candidates who are all fighting tough congressional races. And one of them is Jamie Butler and
Southwest Washington. Yep.
Absolutely right. Vancouver, Washington. Yep. And one of them is Kathy McMorris Rodgers. And one of them is Susan Hutchinson. And they ought to do things together. I mean, because
I agree with that.
The whole idea that women, the only position for women is to be in the Democratic Party is ridiculous when we have three very strong female candidates who basically are leading the ticket right now, together with Dino Rossi, who's also a great candidate. The point that I was making about Connecticut, which is an unbelievable thing, is so years and years ago, before you were born, literally, I think before you were born, I was working in Connecticut politics when I was in law school and then the year after law school, and I was doing it professionally. And one thing you could always count on, if somebody had an ethnic name, he was a Democrat. Vinnie Cirabella was a Democrat. Bob Jaimo was a Democrat. Amim Daddario was a Democrat. They were Democrats. The Republicans had names like Roland. And there was Governor Roland.
Yeah.
They had names like Lowell Weicker.
Yeah.
They had names like Ned Lamont. Well, this time in this election, Ned Lamont from Greenwich, Connecticut, the ultimate country club Democrat, is the Democratic nominee. The Republican nominee, big supporter of President Trump, is Bob Stefanowski, who's a blue-collar guy who did very well. His mother worked cleaning houses so he could go to Fairfield University, a Jesuit school. And he's done very well in business. He's the Republican.
Yeah, I love it. The changing face of the party. And I think the president actually gets a good deal of credit for that changing face. I think he's helped propel that along. Michael
There's
Medved,
no question.
Yes. Yeah, truly. MichaelMedved.com contains all the goodies. Thank you for joining us, Michael. I always appreciate having you on.
You bet. Great time. Great job on Rush today, too.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Todd Herman Show will continue. When you come back, it's always hard to watch a hero of yours get beaten. A hero of mine has been beaten, and I'm shocked and stunned and saddened to see it. I'll explain that when we come back. And it is a tough thing to watch one of my heroes get slapped around. That's my perception of it. Now, listen, I just want to preload this all, let you know, you don't need to care about the sport I'm going to talk about. This isn't about the sport. It's about how powerful is the sexual left. How scary is the sexual left to people? Now, I don't pretend to know the guy I'm going to talk about. I've never met him. I've just studied his career. I've studied his writing. I've studied his philosophy. His name is Greg Glassman, and he is the founder and CEO of CrossFit, which people won't stop talking about, so I won't start talking about what, you know, the sport. I will tell you this, that Glassman changed sport and changed fitness by demanding that it be measurable. Okay, his parents were both scientists. So he has operated on measurability. So when he was a fitness trainer, he would say, how do we know we're making people more fit? And it started with, do we measure anything? And then it got really intense. Okay, so we're making sure people can run longer. Are they also stronger? Are they more flexible? Do they have greater balance? Do they have greater health overall? Can they throw further, swim farther, hold their breath longer, climb higher? So he began to expand all of this into what he calls the sport of fitness. Now, you've heard the show a little bit. You know that I try to practice this. I find it just a great, great release. It's very fun for me. Something I do every single morning and sometimes multiple times per day. I just love it. But I love it because of the science. And I also love Glassman. And this is why this is so upsetting. He just got smacked, in my judgment, by the sexual left. Now, he may say differently, but this is a guy who defeated the big sugar lobby. I am not kidding you when I tell you that the big sugar lobby tried to destroy CrossFit. Big sugar. Why? Because big sugar had worked with DC to fund the two groups who can call you or name you a personal trainer. Those groups are funded by Big Sugar, primarily Coca-Cola and Pepsi. The reason they do that is so they can have a hand in the fitness industry and never have those people discuss too much sugar as one of the reasons you're overweight. Now, this is all explained in a courtroom where Glassman beat Big Sugar, who used lawfare to attack CrossFit. The lawfare was this. They wanted Greg Glassman to have to use them to approve his trainers, CrossFit trainers, who know more by a wide margin than the average personal trainer because the training is far more intense. They wanted to crush him by not letting Glassman train his own people. So that then all of a sudden CrossFit would become just another gym. That's what they wanted. Glassman proved in a court of law that Big Sugar's researchers lied about injuries in CrossFit. Why am I mentioning this? Because my hero has taken a fall. This is Glassman talking about this war with crooked science.
Why am I fighting Big Soda? Three reasons. Yeah, we can start. And I told you the one of them. I agree with Lustig. I think that the fructose in the high fructose corn syrup, it's a scientific view, I think it's toxic. I think it's a toxin. I think it's deadly. Okay? Does that surprise anyone here? No, right? The second thing was their intrusion or invasion, pick your word, or maybe it's just simply corruption of health sciences. Anyone know that they've made incursion, intrusion, invasion into the health sciences? It's amazing. It's sinful. The third piece was their direct support through 501c3 proxies that have come after CrossFit, that have lied, lobbied, legislated, and now litigated, only because we sued them, against CrossFit.
And he won. So I love the story that he took on Washington, D.C. He took on one of the biggest, most powerful lobbies in the world, Big Sugar, and he won. And he wouldn't back down. And they offered him money to pay him off, as I recall. And he wouldn't back down. And they offered to sponsor the CrossFit Games for a bunch of money, and he wouldn't back down. Now he's backed down. Not to them, but to the sexual left. This is how I read it. And I don't think it can be defended. I don't think Glassman, as smart as he is, and as glib as he is, and as good a speaker as he is, could come on this program and legitimately make the case that CrossFit is any longer based in data, not in the data of fitness. In fact, he can't. And it's very sad for me to say. He has decided that men can now compete against women in CrossFit. Well, let me be clear. Trans women. That is, men who think they're women can now compete against women. Whether or not they've had surgery doesn't matter. It does not. The mechanical advantages men enjoy biologically is so pronounced versus women. Height of the hip, the degree of muscle, the size of the heart, the size of the lungs, the presence of or non-presence of fast twitch muscle fibers, etc. ad nauseum. Yes, there are things that women have that are advantageous. Flexibility is one of them. But here's where this gets absurd. These are Glassman's own numbers that I pulled out of the latest CrossFit Games. So he says, if you say you're a woman, but you're a man, you can go compete in our game. So let's check the numbers. CrossFit had a number of competitions in the CrossFit Games. It's, you know, bike riding, running, lifting. It's the sport of fitness. So in their liftoff, these are three Olympic lifts. As I recall, was it? No, one of them. No, one was a squat. So they had three lifts. The woman who won this has won the CrossFit Games 2 years in a row. She's also on the, I think it's the Australian Olympic team as a medalist. The first time she tried out, her name is Tia Toomey. She was first place for the women with 875 pounds. The man who took 38th place, would have beaten her at 1,150 pounds. Okay, well, that's lifting, so that's not fair, right? Okay, let's do this. In the second example, in a bike race, the man who took 24th place would have beaten the first place woman on bikes. Now, that's not weights. That's also, you're also riding a mechanical machine. Okay? Another one. Let's go to marathon rowing, and this should be the easiest one for them to win. The woman who won this set what would have been, as I understand it, an indoor rowing record for like, you know, big time rowers on those rowing machines, big time actual rowers. And she's not a rower. She's a CrossFitter. She won this at national record pace. The gentleman who took 29th place, one of my favorite athletes named Josh Bridges. And there's a lot of reasons Josh is not going to win a rowing competition. He took 29th place. He would have beaten her at her national record, world-class rowing time, 29th place male. And I can do this for all the workouts. That's why they're scaled. Yep, when men and women work out together, men have higher weights, higher boxes. The sexual left is so powerful that it has crushed the ability of CrossFit ever again to be claimed to claim to be based upon science and data. And crushed female athletes who have sacrificed their lives to be in this, they're afraid to speak out against it. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. Let's roll straight into just a few more things. But wait, why am I saying it? That just sounded flat. I got to apologize to everybody in the audience. See how that didn't work? That's why we do it this way. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Let's roll into
just a few more things.
So much classier with a great big New York voice. Just a few more things. We take news-like items, lay them out into an audio feng shui pattern so they're pleasing to the ear. Then, because we are civilized human beings, we are not feral human beings,
Of course, we number the items, so everybody calm down. It's cool.
Thing one.
I have a soft spot for stories like this because I'm endlessly amused by people who think they understand wild animals. They're just so cute. There's no doubt a fox is cute. Foxes are cute. Nobody can say a fox is not cute. Arctic fox, orange fox, whatever you have, they're cute. They look like little dogs. So there's this guy. There's a fox in his neighborhood, and he calls the fox over. The guy has his bags set down by his feet, calls the fox over. The fox goes and steals his wallet. His wallet's leather. Leather to wild animals, that's food. This isn't English, by the way. Hurts himself.
Where did he put that wallet, Fox?
Well, he ate it. It's food. Leather is food. The other thing I enjoy is people who think they're talking to wild animals. I so wanted to use this excuse to play that audio of that woman. Remember her? Bear! Bear! Why are you breaking my... No, bear! There's an actual grizzly bear in Alaska. The woman is lucky to be alive. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing two.
Now, this has this odd reminder to me of Nancy Pelosi, this story. And I also have a belief that animals who escape slaughter, I kind of have a belief they should be let go. Now, think about this. You're an animal. You're on the way to slaughter. And you escape. Shouldn't we have some form of justice where animals are let go? I don't know that these guys are on the way to the slaughter, plus they're goats, plus it's New Jersey.
Dozens of goats and sheep ran wild on the streets of Hackettstown, New Jersey last night after escaping from the town's livestock auction.
One of the gates got open, I guess, and they ran out.
There is one theory in the town, though. Fred the goat, who was seen by the gate a few hours before the big escape.
There is one that everybody's been calling Fred. Is Fred the goat. His year anniversary from getting out was yesterday, too, which is very...
Let the vote go. Let the goat. Let it go. Why don't it remind me of Nancy Pelosi? I'm going to get to that. It's not the looks. She looks like a space alien who's made up almost entirely of petroleum products. But that's not why. No, I'm getting there. And we'll get into this now. Next.
Thing three.
So, there is a Democrat who ran for office on the policy of, you know, responsible gun control. Or she would describe it as responsible gun control. You know, gun safety and such. And then...
Former Georgia congressional candidate who once campaigned on responsible gun laws shot and killed her former campaign treasurer. Kelly Collins turned herself into authorities in McDuffie County near Augusta Tuesday. That's the same day deputies found Curtis Kane in his South Carolina apartment.
Yeah, so that happened. I'm getting to the Nancy Pelosi part. So campaign on so-called responsible gun control or on gun control at all, turn straight around and murder the guy you worked with on a campaign using said firearm. Now, I would love to talk to her and say, how'd your personal gun control work? Because mine's working well. I ain't ever gone out and shot not a single person, lady. Well, I pointed my gun at someone trying to break into our house. He stopped trying to break into our house, and then he ran. But I was controlling my weapon. Next up. Yeah, we're getting there. Next up. Here comes the Pelosi I said. We're getting there. Next up.
Thing four.
So Nancy Pelosi has some advice for Democrats, because here's the thing. The goat thing, she's all of a sudden herding goats. Now, this is fun to watch because now I believe the number's up to 30 to 40 Democrats who don't want this woman to be speaker, who are openly saying they will not support her. So she's trying to herd the goats of the Democrat Party, and she came out with some brilliant campaign advice.
It's not that we don't know what we stand for. It's how do we convey the message? And every day we have a fight. What we have to do is brag about it more.
Okay, so she's saying, look, we got to come out and just get on the soapbox on our high horse or medium-sized horse or whatever kind of horse and say, here's what we're for. Brag about it. Hide not thy flame beneath a bushel. Nancy Pelosi, who says she's Catholic but stands in a corner crossing herself before she takes votes to expand abortion. That's what she's saying, and yet...
Thing five.
Nancy Pelosi, remember what she just said? What was it she just said?
It's not that we don't know what we stand for. It's how do we convey the message.
Okay.
And every day we have a fight. What we have to do is brag about it more.
All right, so what do you stand for?
What are Democrats for?
Democrats are for the people.
What does that mean?
Democrats are for the people.
If you think of that in a certain way... She could be making a menu preference. What do you want to eat? Well, the people. What are you for? I'm for the people. I'm not for pineapple on the pizza. I'm for the people. I like to eat the people. Maybe that's, could that be what she meant? Todd Herbert Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Wouldn't you know it? You know all that marijuana? All that stinkweed, it's destroying the environment. Paging Sleepy Jay.